بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد الحمد لله my dear respected brothers, elders and friends we had started this chapter and for the last one or two weeks we've not been having the lesson of Hadith on Sunday for one reason or the other unfortunately which is my fault so the chapter which we started was titled Babu Tawqir al-Ulama'i wal-Kibar wa Ahli al-Fadli wa Taqdeemihim ala Ghayrihim wa Raf'i Majalisihim wa Idhari Martabatihim the chapter which discusses honoring the ulama and honoring those who are older than us in age and those who have a special status Sometimes a person can have a particular status because of their knowledge, that Allah has granted them knowledge. Sometimes it could be because they are older than us in age, we respect them. Sometimes it's because they have some other khususiyat, they have some other speciality. Maybe there's someone who gives a lot of charity. Maybe there's someone who's gone to perform hajj many, many times. Maybe it's someone who goes in the path of Allah many, many times. You know, anyone Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with a specific virtue, which stands out, we should respect them, we should honor them, we should acknowledge that virtue which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, that Allah ta'ala has granted them something which I don't have in myself. Maybe the person is someone who migrated for the sake of Allah from one town to another town, it happens. Sometimes a person leaves their country, mashallah now we have in England, I've met many brothers, either migrating from Italy or migrating from certain European countries because they say I've migrated to England for the sake of deen. That out of all of the European countries, England is the most stable. It's got the most madrasas and the most masajid and the most maktabs. There is not a single country in the entire Europe, except for England, which has a Monday to Friday madrasa. This is the only country. So people acknowledge and understand this. And this is why people move here. Someone might say you're moving from one Darul Kufr to another Darul Kufr, one place of disbelief to another place of disbelief. But it's a person who needs to live in the West, they have relatives, they have businesses, they have this and that, they still consider the interests of their children. So these people, we should honor them, we should respect them, we should understand that this person has given great qurbani for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what this chapter is about. So I think I recited one or two ahadith from this chapter. So moving on inshaAllah, the next hadith is narrated by Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. No, the next hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Jabir radiyallahu anhu. Sayyidina Jabir radiyallahu anhu, he narrates, أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كَانَ يَجْمَعُ بَيْنَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ مِنْ قَتْلَ أُحُدٍ يعني في القبر ثُمَّ يَقُولُ أَيُّهُمَا أَكْثَرُ أَخْذًا لِلْقُرْآنِ فَإِذَا أُشِيرَ إِلَى أَحَدِهِمَا قَدَّمَهُ فِي اللَّحْدِ You know what they've done with the mic is very echoey. I don't know if anyone realized it. It's okay. Can you hear my voice? It is on. Sure. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu, he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battle of Uhud, because in the battle of Uhud what happened was there was a shortage of graves that were dug. And there were many of shuhada, many who had passed away as martyrs. Obviously the Sahaba initially were winning the battle of Uhud. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had placed a group of 70 archers on Jabal al-Ruman. On the Mount of Ruman, and he had told them that doesn't matter what happens, you stay there, you don't move from your position. And when those Sahaba saw that the Muslims were winning the battle, they thought that, you know what, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant that when we are losing, or in the beginning of the battle, stay there, but when we are winning, we don't need to stay here anymore. Some Sahaba said, no, no, we need to follow the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some said, no, we don't have to. That command was supposed to be for when the battle was intense. Now we're winning, we're victorious, we can leave our positions. So because of this confusion, the enemy managed to come from behind and many of the Sahaba actually lost their lives on the battlefield of Uhud. And there was so much confusion to the extent that people were saying, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away. Some Sahaba even ran away from the battlefield. Great Sahaba, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, and many of the great Sahaba actually ran away from the battlefield. Running away from the battlefield is one of the most greatest sins in Islam. But because the confusion was so much on that day, people were saying Rasulullah has passed away. For the Muslims, when they heard those words that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is no more, he has passed away, their dunya came to an end. Their world came to an end. That's why it's, you know, they were excused for this. Because of this, many Muslims actually lost their lives. So when it came to burying them, there were only a few graves that were dug. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what you should do is bury two or three people in one grave. bury two or three people in one grave. Now, how do you, and another thing what happened was, the graves that were dug, there's two types of graves. One is known as the shaq, and one is known as the lahad. The shaq or the shiq is just a ditch. So where you actually, like the graves that we have, is like a ditch, and then you just put the body straight inside. And lahad is when you actually make a ditch, and then inside the ditch you create like a compartment. And then what you do is you slide the body into that compartment and you make them face the qibla. So this is lahad, and this is the sunnah grave, and this is the type of grave in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself is buried. The person who dug the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was a great sahabi, his name was Abu Talha radiallahu anhu. And he was a master, he was an expert at digging graves. And he used to dig the lahad grave very well. Because remember, you need a lot of skill to dig the lahad grave. Because if you don't dig it properly, what will happen is, it will cave in. It will fall down. If it falls down, it will squash the body. Because think about it, you're creating a little compartment inside, under the ground. It's not just an easy job as just digging a big hole in the ground. So Sayyidina Abu Talha actually dug the lahad grave, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam buried in the lahad grave. So on the Battle of Uhud, there were many lahad graves which were dug. And now, because there were more than one person to be buried, so Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu is saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered between two people, two martyrs from the martyrs of Uhud, in one grave. And when he was doing this, so think about this, the lahad grave. So you put one person in, and then you'll have to put the next person in. So who do you put in first? Who do you put in second? So they asked Mashwara to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, who should we put in first? Who should we put in second? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَيُّهُمَا أَكْثَرُ أَخْذًا لِلْقُرْآنِ. Which of them has memorized more of the Qur'an? فَإِذَا أُشِيرَ إِلَىٰ أَحَدِهِمَا قَدَّمَهُ فِي اللَّحْدِ. When they would point at someone that this person has memorized more of the Qur'an, he would be the first person that they would put in the lahad, and then they would put the second person in the lahad. So from this hadith, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi showing us that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving specific virtue and importance to someone who has memorized more of the Qur'an. He's not saying who's a hafiz of Qur'an. He's saying who's memorized more. Whether it's one surah, two surahs, three surahs, remember, we should not downplay this. How many surahs I've memorized. That's why, you know, in our madrasa when boys memorize surah, mashallah, Abu Huraira is here, mashallah, Abu Bakr is here. When the boys memorize surahs, we always say to them, doesn't matter how many surahs you memorize, carry on memorizing them and make them strong. Because when every single Muslim enters Jannah, the announcement will be made. Iqra wartaqi. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say it's just for the hafiz, just for the huffaz. He said it's for every single Muslim. Because when you enter Jannah, now where do you go? You've entered into Jannah, where do you go? Which one is your maqam? There are hundreds of millions of billions of stages of Jannah. Where are you supposed to go? So the angels will say to you, Iqra wartaqi. Start reading and start climbing. Every ayat you recite, you will climb, you will climb, you will climb. And you will stop at the last ayat that you have memorized. That's where you stop. So the more Quran we learn, the higher our maqam will be in Jannah. That's the given. So if I have memorized three juz, three paras of Quran, four paras of Quran, and my friend has only memorized two paras of Quran, because of how much Quran I've memorized, my maqam will automatically be high in Jannah. Obviously, on top of this, there are so many other a'mal as well. A person has to do good a'mal. But this is very important. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us this, that someone who memorizes more of the Quran, they have a special virtue, special fadilat. So he's saying, put this person in first, and then put this other person in next. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أراني في المنام أتسوك فجاءني رجلان أحدهما أكبر من الآخر فناولت السواك الأصغر فقيل لي كبر فدفعته إلى الأكبر منهما رواه مسلم مسندا ورواه البخاري تعليقا. سيدنا عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما, he narrates that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I had a dream, أراني في المنام, I was shown inside my dream, atasawwak, that I'm doing miswak. This is a dream that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is having, that he sees himself in a dream doing the miswak. Faja'ani rajulan, and then two people came to me. In the dream, two people came to me. Fanawaltu siwak al-asghar, I took my miswak and I gave it to the youngest person. Meaning those two people who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw in the dream, he recognized them, he knew who they were. That's how he knew which one was older and which one was younger. He said, I took my miswak and I gave it to the younger one. فَقِيلَ لِي كَبِّرْ. So it was said to me, in my dream it was said to me, Kabbir, give it to the older one. Give it to the older one. فَدَفَعْتُهُ إِلَى الْأَكْبَرِ مِنْهُمَا So I then handed over my miswak to the elder, to the eldest one, to the older one from amongst them. So this is a dream of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, the dream has its ta'bir, it has its interpretation. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not telling us here what does the dream mean. The two people who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw in the dream, this would be a great virtue for them. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's miswak, he passes it over to one of them, and they use the miswak that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used. But Rasulullah did not tell us who were those two people, why did he give them miswak, what does that mean. He didn't tell us this. But what he was trying to tell us from this hadith is that even in my dream, Jibreel alayhi salam is telling me, make sure you always give importance to the elder ones. And that's why the ulama say, if they're the same in terms of knowledge, then you should always prioritize the elder. But if someone has greater knowledge, someone has greater memorization of the Quran, then it's absolutely fine to prioritize someone who's not older in terms of knowledge. And that's why in the other hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, bury the one who has memorized more of the Quran first. And there are so many other hadith like this, that a person who has more of the Quran in their heart, they should be honored and respected. Someone who is a hafiz of Quran, a lot of respect and honor should be shown towards that person. Not because of the person, but because of what they have in their heart, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next hadith, one, Abi Musa radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna min ijlalillahi ta'ala ikrama dhi shaybatil muslim. Wa hamilil Quran ghayril ghali fihi wal jafi anhu. وإكرام ذي السلطان المقسطي حديث حسن رواه أبو داود. سيدنا أبو موسى الأشعري رضي الله عنه, he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every single person wants to honor Allah Ta'ala, wants to respect Allah. Every single Muslim knows that they have to fear Allah, they have to respect Allah, they have to honor Allah. Allah is our creator, Allah is our khaliq, Allah is our sustainer. He's given us everything. We know we need to love Him, we need to respect Him, we need to honor Him. We cannot go against His commands. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith is saying, there are three people that if you respect and honor these people, you are respecting and honoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are three people. Agar teen aise ashkhas hai, teen aise log hai, agar inki ta'zeem ki jaye, agar inki muhabbat, inki ta'zeem, inki izzat baja laya jaye, to Allah ta'ala ki izzat ki ja rahi hai. Teen aise log hai. ہمیں چاہیے کہ ان کی عزت کریں. Who are those three people? اکرام ذی شیبت المسلم. An elder Muslim, someone who has this shayba, whose beard has turned white, whose hair has turned white. Honoring, respecting these people is equal to honoring and respecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. کسی بزرگ آدمی, کسی عمر دراز آدمی کی عزت کرنا, ان کا احترام کرنا, ان کی آداب کو بجا لانا, یہ اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی کی عزت کرنے کے برابر ہیں. کہ اگر کوئی بڑھے آدمی, بڑے بزرگ آدمی کی ہم عزت کرے صرف اسی لیے کہ اس کی عزت کرنے سے اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی خوش ہو جاتے ہیں, تو اس سے اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی کی قرب انسان کو مل جاتی ہے. So this is the first person. Second one is وحامل القرآن, someone who carries the Quran, حافظ القرآن. I don't want to say حافظ, because the hadith is not saying حافظ. What's the hadith saying? حامل. حامل, حمل. اردو میں حمل کس چیز کو کہتے ہیں؟ When a woman is pregnant, or it's a bojh, hamal bojh hoti hai na. To hamil al-Quran, someone who the Quran has become a bojh on them, the Quran has become a weight on them. The hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have just said, hafiz al-Quran, someone who's memorized the Quran, because there are many who memorize the Quran and then they forget it. Or they memorized a few ayat and then they have no connection with the Quran. Hamil al-Quran, the someone who the Quran has become a weight upon them. They've memorized the Quran and they are trying to practice upon the Quran. It's not easy. Everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them to do inside the Quran, they're trying to do it. And they make an effort to keep the Quran in their memories very, very hard. So this person is hamilul Quran. And in all of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he talks about hafizul Quran, he doesn't say hafizul Quran. Many times it's hamilul Quran. Because this is the reality. Nowadays it's very easy, hafiz, so many hafiz, and then hafizaz, mashallah, so many hafizaz. But the reality is that the connection with the Quran is a lifelong journey. It's very difficult. And it has to be difficult, because this is one of the greatest things a person, the greatest thing a person will ever acquire in their lives. They can go and they can get a university degree and a master's and a PhD, and they can work in this job and that job. But this degree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them is the greatest degree. You cannot go beyond this degree. And that's where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, equal to honoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is honoring the hafiz of the Qur'an, the hamil of the Qur'an. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes who's the hamil of Qur'an. Ghayril ghali fihi. Someone who does not exaggerate in it. This is very deep. What does that mean? Exaggerating in it. Being extreme in it. So the ulama explain, you have some people who go so much into the rules of tajweed and makharij that their life becomes about tajweed and makhraj and ghunna and ikhfa. I am fully for this tajweed, and we advocate this, that everybody recites Quran properly. But some people are extreme in this. We may not have come across them, or we may have. They spend their entire life just there on the talaffuz. Make this letter correct, make it even better. And they're so focused on the words that they never get to the meaning. They never get to the meaning, because they're so focused on get the word correct. Some ulama have said this is what it means. Someone who is extreme in the recitation of Quran. Everybody, it's necessary to learn tajweed. Know what is lahnu jali. What are the mistakes that will make us sinful? What is lahnu khafi? What are the mistakes that we should avoid? But once you've done that, then it's okay. You don't need to go so much into the science of tajweed and makharij and become so extreme in it that you don't go beyond to what is Allah Ta'ala trying to say. The Quran is a letter from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. So if I am spend the whole effort on what does this word say and what does that word say, rather than going to the meaning that this letter is a letter from my Lord to me, what is my Allah Ta'ala saying in this letter? What does my Allah Ta'ala want me to know? So this is where our main effort should be. So ulama say this is one explanation. A second explanation of an extreme person is someone who goes into the meanings of the Quran that Allah Ta'ala has said, you're not going to understand it. For example, Allah Ta'ala says Alif Lam Mim, you're not going to know what it means. What does Alif Lam Mim mean? We don't know. Even in the books of tafsir, it says Allahu A'lamu bimuradihi bidhalik. Only Allah knows what he means by this. Taha, Yasin, Hamim, Ayn, Sin, Qaf. All of these letters of the Quran, these huruful muqatta'at, these singular individual letters, nobody knows what they mean. And then you have certain qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. Allah ta'ala ki baaz sifat jinko Quran Majid ke andar bayan ki gayi hai. Certain qualities of Allah ta'ala. Allahu ala al-arsh istawa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the throne. All of these kind of sentences, and about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's yad, Allah ta'ala's hand and foot, and all of these different qualities and attributes which are mentioned in the Quran, we shouldn't even translate them literally, because we don't know what they mean and they can confuse a person. But then you have some people who go into this and then they ask people questions, where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A question that has never come to my mind, and these people will ask, where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And they think by doing this they're doing a good job. Rather, by doing this, by asking this question, they're putting a person into fitna. This innocent person, masoom person, bichara person, he's never stopped and thought about where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't have to. And if a person asks me, where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah ta'ala kahan hai? To hame kya kehni chahiye? What should we say? We should say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is where he always was. We should not say Allah ta'ala yahan hai, wahan hai, idhar hai, udhar hai. And we should not say Allah Ta'ala har jagah hai, ye bhi ghalat hai. We should say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is where he always was before Allah created the dunya. Because some people say Allah Ta'ala is above. But above is a direction, below is a direction, left is a direction, right is a direction, east, north, south, west. All of these are directions. If I say Allah is in a direction, then the question is, well, who created direction? Allah created direction. Allah created all of these directions. Because you can only have a direction in an object. If there's no object, then there's no purpose of direction. I can direct you in Ashton. I can say, if you go straight ahead, then you'll find the town center. But if Ashton didn't exist, then going straight ahead would have no meaning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not fit into a direction, because Allah created directions. That's why we say Allah ta'ala is where he always was. The directions, the four directions, cannot encompass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They cannot surround Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, some people go into this in the Quran. What does this ayat mean? What is that ayat trying to say? Allah Ta'ala mentions very clearly in the Quran, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. راسخون في العلم, those who are strong in knowledge, they say آمَنَّا بِهِ, we bring iman in it, all of it is from Allah, meaning they don't go into trying to understand it. They understand that here this is a place where Allah is not telling me, Allah does not want me to know, so we'll just skim over it, we'll just go over it. This is what Allah says is the quality of the rasikhun fil ilm, those who are pukhta, those who are strong in their knowledge, that they will just go over those ayat, they will leave it and they will say, I don't know what it means, Allah knows what it means. But then you have some people who say, I need to understand, and then they cause fitna. So this is one interpretation. So غَيْرِ الْغَالِي فِيهِ وَحَامِلُ الْقُرْآنِ. Allah Ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, it's equal to honoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to honor a hafiz of the Quran. However, it's such a hafiz who is not extreme in terms of the Quran. And secondly, وَالْجَافِي عَنْهُ. And a hafiz who does not distance himself from the Quran. How can a hafiz distance himself from the Quran? By not reciting the Quran. By becoming so busy with worldly things. The ulama have mentioned, this is what it means. Becoming so busy with worldly things that I don't have time to recite the Quran. This is jafi anhu. A person who, jafi anhu means a person who stays away from it. I've memorized the Quran, but I don't have any connection with it. I don't have time to memorize it. Allah Ta'ala, whatever He has mentioned in the Quran, I don't practice upon it. I don't bring it into my life. This is jafi anhu. So as long as a person is a hafidhul Quran and they have these two qualities in them, they don't deserve that respect. But if they don't have these two qualities in them, they are someone who is trying their best to connect with the Quran, practice upon the teachings of the Quran, they are constantly reciting the Quran, then this person should be respected and honored. And by respecting and honoring this person, it's the same as respecting and honoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, the third person, وَإِكْرَامَ ذِي السُّلْطَانِ الْمُقْسِطِ. Honoring the Sultan, the king, the Muslim ruler, who is muqsit, who is just, who does insaf, who has justice upon his people, honoring this person is also equal to honoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this hadith is very important. In this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, there are three people. Honor these people, respect these people, love these people, and it is equivalent to honoring and respecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will be happy with you if you do this. First is, anyone who is an old Muslim, anyone who is an old Muslim, regardless of who they are, where they're from, what they say, how they behave, how they act. You know, we have this habit, this old person is like this and that old person is like that. Anyone who is old, this shayba means jiske dari ke andar sufedi ho, jiske baal ke andar sufedi ho, inki izzat karna, inki ihtiram karna, Allah Ta'ala ke izzat ur ihtiram ke barabar hai. And secondly, hafiz-e-Qur'an ke ihtiram karna, unka izzat karna, ye bhi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ki izzat aur ihtiram karne ke barabar hai. Or, and the final person is the Muslim ruler, Musliman hakim, Musliman hukamran hakim, jo insaf karta ho. To insaf karta, ye bhi ek shart laga di gayi is hadith ke andar, that he does insaf, he is just. As long as he has this condition, we should honor him and respect him. And this is also equal to honoring and respecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll stop there, inshallah. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice upon these few words. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanallah, bihamdi, shukr, astaghfirullah.